sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Bon, ben, mesdames et messieurs, nous sommes rendus à épisode 212. En anglais, give me an hour plus a pen and a pad. Check this out. I eliminate punks. I cut them up in chunks. You were souped. You heard me, and your ego shrunk. I'm devastating. I'm so good, it's a shame. Because I eat rappers like a cannibal. They call me insane. I'm as strong as a bull. Of course you know why I pull. I enjoy what I'm doing, plus I'm paid in full. Not buckaroo banzai, not busting out eyes eye. Say the kind of rhymes that make MCs wish that I died. Shame on them. Never retire. Put the mic on the shelf. The baddest rapper in the history of rap itself. Not bitter or mad. I'm just proving I'm bad. You want a hit? I said, you want a hit? Lady in the back, you want a hit? Give me an hour plus a pen and a pad.
Message.
I should stop here, but MCs retreat because I know I could beat him and eat him in a battle because the ref won't cheat him. I'm the baddest, taking out all rookies. Forget Oreos, eat B Black's cookie. I'm bad. Dun, 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 dun. Motherfucker out. Motherfucker out. All right, kid. Welcome. Et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, and a.k.a. Gaston Lebanor. Excuse me. Woo! Yeah. Let me repeat that. Gaston Lebanor. Yeah. No relations to Lebanon. All right, okay, before I start another amazing show, I need to remind you returning listeners and inform you new listeners that this podcast is protected, is a safe space for my thought. First off, it's a safe space for my thought, and it's protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu
up in this bitch. I said, rouge et bleu's up in this bitch. Rouge et bleu's up in this motherfucking bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Thursday, October 17, 2024. That's for you historians out there. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. And being that it's still Columbus Day was a few days ago. It's still fuck Columbus Day. And it's still fuck Columbus. Fuck Columbus as a staff record. You know what? Columbus is number one whitey for this week. When you think of Whitey, think of Columbus. I'm laughing. What was it? When you think of Raheem, no. Ah, fuck. I was trying to quote. I refuse to misquote a line from Coming to America. And I'm not going to. It's kind of late, so I'm not going to look up the link. I'm not going to look it up. All right, let's get this shit going, right? But before I continue, I, first of all, like I would like to acknowledge all you returning listeners. Yo, it means a lot to me that you're back for some more. And for that, I applaud you. The second group of listeners that I need to send a shout out to and acknowledge, for tradition's sake, is all you new listeners, especially those of you who clicked on this podcast by some kind of mistake. By some kind of, no, it wasn't a mistake. The Lord wanted you to check me out. So, to you, I also send you some applauses and salutation greetings and all that shit. Yay! Yeah, usually I give you the... And reserve this one for, like, accomplishments on my part. Yay! But I guess having a new listener would be an accomplishment. So, yay for me. All right. Okay. Blah. 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 Okay. All right. New listeners. I haven't forgotten you. Just to help you get familiar, one thing, you know, what I like to do before I continue with the show, just to help you get familiar with this, how I do my episode, what's going to happen, right, is I break down my episodes into three parts that I call acts. I guess it would have just been simpler to say three acts, but acts are usually, you know what, I like the word acts because chicks dig it, all right? First act is the introduction, which is what I'm doing right now, which is what you're in right now. Second act is use a random thought, because that's exactly what we do in that second act. And in the third act, I call it final thoughts. I'll be sharing a final thought with you. Okay, all right. Now, in the first act, so far what you've heard is the theme song. You start out with the theme song. Then I jumped in to give you the title of today's episode, followed by some poetry. And heads up, spoiler alert. Both the poetry and today's title all relate to the final thought, right? All that, yeah, it's all linked together. And everything after that was greetings, salutations, and a little disclaimer. Yeah, you know what? A little disclaimer. Greetings, salutation, and disclaimer. It's my way of saying don't be a bitch. If you plan on listening to this podcast, don't be a bitch, especially if you're white. All right, okay. Did I mean to say don't be a bitch? No, don't be a, I need to find a new term for that. Don't be a whitey. Yeah, don't be a whitey, okay? Don't be first of all, devil's advocate here. Let me play both sides of the fence. Whatever. Okay, I need to write that one down. Okay, right, okay. Last thing I like to do in the intro before I just to finalize to wrap things up is share some quotes, right? And I didn't think this one through too well. This one's okay. All right, first quote goes only because we at Shut Up Podcast are firm believer, not believer, but supporters of the of the highly sensitive of the HSP lifestyle, the highly sensitive trait. Right, and I got this quote from the highly sensitive person subreddit, and it goes like this: the truly creative mind in any field is more than this, a human creature born abnormally inhumanly sensitive. Add to this cruelly delicate organism the overpowering necessity to create. So that without the creating of music or poetry or books or buildings or something of meaning, like maybe this podcast, his very breath is cut off from him. Aww. He must create must pour out creation by some strange unknown inward urgency. He is not really alive unless he is creating. Wow, man. Oh, wow. The author of this quote is Pearl S. Buck. You know what's funny is this quote was just, I just noticed it and I saved it in my little notebook, electronic notebook. And because I wasn't going to read it at the time, but I wanted to take the time to read it by myself. But yeah, notice this shit is accurate. Okay. All right. Next quote. It goes, okay, this one is from Epictetus. Epictetus. Anyway, I can't pronounce this Greek dude's name, but Epictetus says something that I like. He goes, if you are ever tempted to look for outside approval, realize that you have compromised your integrity. Oh, wow. If you need a witness, be your own. Epictetus, whatever. Yeah. Remind me to bring up on at the final thought what I mean by willing to suck dick for validation. All right, okay. Last one is, it goes like this. Wow. Standing up for yourself doesn't make you argumentative. Sharing your feelings doesn't make you oversensitive. And saying no doesn't make you uncaring, selfish. If someone won't respect your feelings, needs, and boundaries, the problem isn't you, it's them. Oh my God. Shout out to Lori Deschene. D-E-S-C-H-E-N-E. Deschene. Spanish or Francesa, but whatever. Okay. All right, let's go. Okay, that's it, guys, for the first act. Let's jump to the second act. Give me an hour, plus a pen and a pad. I fucking love that. I love that verse and the title. All right. Okay, this first clip that I'm going to play is just a PSA. Okay, hold on. I'm just looking to see the time. Okay, it's just a PSA that I'm sharing with y'all. It goes like this.
Do trans people make you feel a certain way? Like our joy just fills you up with hate, disgust, or dismay? Well, it's clear you people have a lot you'd like to say. So if I may, here's some advice to keep those demons at bay. Just shut up! We weren't talking to you. Just shut up!
Hey.
There's so much more you could do. Like go for a walk or talk to someone you love. Cause not one thing we do is affecting you when push comes to shove. Just shut up!
Uh-huh.
Our rights don't take away yours. Just shut up!
Uh-huh.
Seriously, what are you yelling for? My fresh grown boobies are just boobies, not some cultural downfall. And pronouns are just words, it's no big deal at all. So look, I know learning new things can be scary. When you don't understand something, it's normal to be wary.
Uh-huh.
But what's not okay is when all humanity goes away. And instead of opening your heart to someone who's different than you, you choose to scratch that hateful, itchy itch of cis superiority and spew some messed up, made up narratives that you probably heard from someone else who has never even met or talked to an actual trans person. And you know what? I used to care about what you thought of me, but now I'm only asking you to just shut up.
Your hate's your problem, not mine.
Just shut up.
It's literally free to just be kind.
Your words have actual consequences. Act like a grown up. If you don't have anything nice to say, then shut up.
Shut up. Needless to say, we at Shut Up Podcast strongly endorse this message. It's not just the message that got to me, but it reminded me, again, it reminded me of what I mean by shut up for this podcast, or what I mean when I start the podcast with,
you cannot talk.
Yeah, it's more, by hearing, it's like, shut up, let me exist. Shut up, let me be. Shut up, let me talk. If you were heckler, shut up. If you were, shut up, because that's what I've been doing for the most part of my life. Oh my God. Yes. All right. Oh, right. So shout out to Ellie Darren. Goddamn English. I suck at English. Yeah. Darren. D-E-R-E-N. Yeah, I'm being a little tough on myself. It's a bad habit of mine. I'm working on it. Okay, what else do I got? What if I told you? You know, I love this meme only when it's saying a message that I like, that I agree with. But you know the Morpheus meme? If you don't know who Morpheus is, okay, yeah, not the Greek. If you haven't seen The Matrix, I don't know what the fuck you do. Yeah, we can't be friends. All right. that meme with Morpheus at the cover, and it goes, what if I told you, like this, you're not going to change any Trumpers' minds. We need to focus on the positive things Harris will do to encourage as many people who would otherwise have stayed at home to get out and vote. Otherwise, say, okay. Yeah. One of my least favorite posts on the internet is, hey, look at Trump saying something stupid, or look at one of his followers doing something stupid. No, don't get me wrong. Yeah, they are doing something stupid. But your punk ass better be voting if you're going to share shit like that. Because there was a lot of, oh, wow, Trump is a stupid. Trump is an idiot. Motherfucker won in 2016. Why? Because he managed to outsmart a whole bunch of people into, you know what? Nah. Voting won't change shit. Hillary Clinton, she sucks. I mean, I'm bad, but Hillary Clinton, she's got boobs. Come on. Look, avoid making a mistake that you're not going to, that you're going to regret. Just stay home. Don't vote. And, yeah, so I was just thinking about how in Canada we're in a more complicated situation. I don't give a fuck. I vote liberal. See, that's what's fucked up. You got, on our end, we got three parties, right? You got one party on the liberal side. One party that could win, and another one that's, like, saying all the right shit. That's it. And what sucks is that people are pissed off at the Liberal Party. And, well, I mean, if you believe the news, people, whatever, man, our Liberal Party and Justin Trudeau. Yeah, the whole support of Israel. Not a good look, homie. Anyways, my point is it's going to be split. And our Donald Trump, and when I say our Donald Trump, I mean our idiot politician, our, like, yeah, man, send them all back. Mr. What? Too many brown people in your neighborhood? I'll fix that. What? These bitches trying to get abortions? That guy. Anyways, that guy, he's a fucking idiot. I mean, I say he's an idiot. I mean, he's a politician, but his supporters are fucking idiots. He dumbs it down for his people. That guy, he's got a strong chance of winning because we're kind of like divided on the others. His oppositions are spread apart. The motherfuckers who are like, yeah, we want to deport people like B-Black from our country, they're more united than the people who are like, yeah, you know what? Sure, racism is bad, but anyways. Oh my God, I'm spending too much time. Okay, on this one. I'm gonna look at the time. Okay, I am. Okay, I'm gonna play this. This was supposed to be. I was supposed to say. This is what happens when you don't stick to the script. I was supposed to say, talk about voting, and then speaking of something positive, Kamala Harris has done, and I fucked that up. But instead, I'm just gonna play the clip of Kamala Harris talking about Columbus Day, and I didn't know this, but this is a 2021 clip. And imagine it must have pissed off some white people. I mean, it made me happy, but, you know, I don't think like the average white man. Here we go.
It is an honor, of course, to be with you this week as we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. Every October, the United States has recognized the voyage of the European explorers who first landed on the shores of the Americas. But that is not the whole story. Mm-hmm. Those explorers ushered in a wave of devastation for tribal nations, perpetrating violence, stealing land, and spreading disease. We must not shy away from this shameful past.
That shit might have cost her the election. I mean, it's positive news for me, but man. Fuck what you heard, man. White folks outnumber everyone else in the United States, and messages like that kind of pisses them off. So my grandpa built this country with his bare hands, thanks to Columbus. Anyway, great message. That's why I'm playing it on the podcast. controversial, but yeah, great message. Fuck a game of politics. All right. Speaking of clips that I just wanted to hear. Okay, this one is called Empathy Fatigue, and I'm only playing it because it's one of those clips I just found, I'm just curious. I'm really curious. I don't know what empathy fatigue is. For all I know, this person's about to say some racist shit, but we'll see. All right, here we go. Take this journey with me.
Empathy burnout is a real thing. After so many years of putting other people first, overpouring, overgiving, people-pleasing, trying to understand people's reasons for hurting you, you're exhausted, drained, and indifferent. So when people cry to return after treating you badly, you just no longer care. If someone who has been or is in my life comes and says something to you about me, even if it's negative, I might tell you to believe them because of what they had to do to get me to that point. I am absolutely a villain in some people's stories, you know? But people's minds and memories are selective, and they just start where I became the villain. I can absolutely be very comfortable being the villain in your story, because I know myself well enough to know I will never wake up and intentionally want to hurt you out of the blue. And even when you hurt me, I will never want to hurt you back. But you best believe I will stand my ground. You will no longer have access to me. And if I come off as cruel, if I come off as a villain, so be it.
It's powerful. I can speak on that. Okay, let me focus because I don't want to I imposed a limit on myself for act two. So I don't know who's hearing that message. I mean, there's people, there's the target audience, but no, we don't take pleasure in that message about being the villain in other people's story. No, we don't take any pleasure in that. I think I've gone my entire life, most of my life, trying to be the good guy, the good person in your story. Like I told myself that if you write a book about yourself and then you involve me, you're only going to have a positive light. I'll be written in positive light. But the truth is, after I became an adult, I realized that, that shit is not possible, man. That shit is, some motherfuckers you're going to have to let down. Some people you're going to have to, will push you to the limit of turning, of you being comfortable being the villain in their story. When I say the villain in their story, I'm not saying you're going to burn their house down, but simply, if they're needy motherfuckers, all of a sudden they don't have access to you, and that makes you a bad person. You know, okay, I'm going to tell you a quick story. I'm thinking of a colleague who, this was interesting, actually, as I talk about being a villain in other people's story. I'm not okay, so a colleague, a dude I used to work with, returning listeners probably heard the story, but I guess you never know how you affect people. Anyways, this dude I used to work with, he moved on to a different organization. He left our company, right? And in that goodbye email, one, he didn't leave his email address. Like I asked him to say, hey, yo, if you leave, make sure you leave your, because he was, you know, kind of guy you want to pick his brain. And he gave a list of shout outs of people he shouted out. And I was on that list. Now, I would not tell him this story, but it's more the idea of it's okay that he did that. But I guess I was thinking about the possibility. Again, I'm exaggerating, but I'm probably being dramatic, but I couldn't stop myself from having that thought exercise of a possibility that I managed to be, I unintentionally became the villain in his story. And I don't mean villain like, I mean, I just happen to be someone for him that's like, yeah, you are not helping me move forward. My point is, I let go of it. I just let it happen. It's whatever. You don't know how you're gonna affect people. Some people you think you're the shit in their story, and turns out that fuck, they're fucking glad that you're gone. Because I have a long list of people who I worked with, especially in the work settings. And once I moved to a new job, fuck that bridge is burnt. I mean, there ain't no coming back. There's people I'm like, yeah, if I see them again, I'm like, hey, dude, well, they're not paying me for me. They're not paying me to pretend that I like you. So get to stepping. Well, I mean, I guess that's what it is, man. You know what? Okay, this is a longer thought. Let me just move on, because this could be a final thought. And the idea of being attached. I have a friend who's like, I have two friends, and they put in way more work than I do to be in their life. And shit makes me cry. I mean, a part of me wants to say, I'm not worth it. But to them, they have that. It's just, yeah, it's amazing. I'm not worth it, but it's like, as much as I want to return the favor, but it's like, it's life, man, life. Just trying to make sense of it. All right, okay. This next one is gonna go on the new, and I'm not reading the story. I'm not gonna read this article because it's from BuzzFeed. Okay, but I'll just read the title. I read the story, but I'll read the title. Okay, and it's after signing a, pay attention, brace yourself. You might want to sit down for this. After signing a $125 million Sirius XM deal, Alex Cooper, not the singer, was just asked if she thinks about her former Call Her Daddy co-host, Sophia Frankman. Now, I don't know who these individuals are, but I am familiar. I do know about the Call Her Daddy podcast only because Kamala Harris appeared on it. And now, the reason I'm not sharing this, look, the links will be in the show notes. You can read for yourself. I fucking hate the story. It's pretty much how you think your friend feels like a fucking loser now that you're a success and, you know, whatever. I hated that story. But I am acknowledging, one, shout out to Alex Cooper. Yo, she stuck to her guns, made her decisions, and now, look, holy shit, signing a deal for $125 million for a podcast. Two, what the fuck am I doing with my life? No, sorry, let me back. I should have seen it, but I feel like Biggie. Thought big hip hop would take it this far. I should be feeling like Billy. Now I'm in the limelight because I rhyme tight, because my podcast is tight. Anyway, good for her, man. Good for her. I should have a three. When Kamala Harris appeared on Call Her Daddy podcast, I was like, what kind of fucking name is that for a? What kind of fucking name is that? Didn't realize it was a podcast. And and it's more the idea that there was a popular podcast out there that I didn't know shit about. $125 million. I'm trying to imagine. Okay, look, I've been podcasting for a while. I don't want to be that guy. I've been podcasting since Moses wore short pants. No. But I'm I'm thinking about the people who I've guest co-host with or shared a podcast with. And they went, they were like, may achieve that kind of success. Now, I'll be honest with you. I would not regret the fact that shit didn't work out between us. But it would be an interesting thought, because it'd be like thinking about, oh man, if I stayed with my ex, I'd be rich now. You know, your ex becomes a millionaire. You know what I mean? It's yeah. Sorry, it's more the idea, I'm having that thought exercise because that's what I do, thought exercise. The idea of someone who we went our separate ways and they became really successful. Like, oh, turns out you were the dead weight. I'm kidding. But anyway, yeah. Again, shout out to Alex Cooper. Alex Cooper's a singer, right? I remember growing up, whatever, focus, B. Okay, last thing is, all right, okay. I got to play this video, right? First of all, on the last podcast, I covered the whole Simuliu. I've been on the last podcast, I pronounced his name badly. The whole Simu, yep, making sure. Simuliu incident on the Dragon's Den. Two Quebecers showed up to present their white version, white people version, wait, new and improved version of bubble tea, because, you know, you Asians, you know, fucking Taiwanese. Y'all need the touch of the white man. Y'all need the white man bump in your product to sell shit. So and if you haven't heard about it, you know, Google it. But in my other links section of the podcast, in the show notes, there's several. Basically, the two people who presented this bubble tea company from Quebec. Racist ass crackers, appropriating ass crackers. There's a long list. Yeah, look, the internet shat on those motherfuckers, those two, right? Now, out of all the follow-up stories, because, again, I covered this story in the last podcast, but between now and that last podcast, there's been several content creators who talked about it. And out of all the ones that I've found, this is the one I feel the need to share with you. Because right now I'm talking to you about a story that I already covered on the last episode, but this is the one that I feel the need to share with you. All right? Here it is. Bam! And you say goddamn, and you'll understand why after.
When I first saw the video about the bubble tea Dragon Den pitch, there was less than 900 likes, and now the Americans are interested. Do you know what it takes to get Americans interested in anything that happens in Canada? Huh? But the big elephant in the room that nobody is addressing is, how did they have the confidence, arrogance, naivete to think that they were going to be able to get away with this? And It's really simple. It's because they're Quebecers. Mm-hmm. And more specifically, ce sont des Québécois. One thing that I've noticed time and time again from French Canadians is how behind they are on conversations about racism. Mm-mm. It doesn't matter if we're talking about, like, diversity, equity, inclusion, representation, systemic racism, in this case, cultural appropriation. They just, whatever the topic is, they just seem to be behind.
Behind.
French people are having conversations that English people, they've decided this is a case closed. We're not even going to breach this topic. Why is the Prime Minister of Quebec saying that there isn't a problem with systemic racism in Quebec while also simultaneously banning teachers from wearing hijab?
Hold on a second. I'm pausing what she's saying. Fuck Legault.
Why is it that in French Canadian world at the University of Ottawa, we're having conversations about using the N-word?
I'm pausing again just to say, fuck Ottawa, you.
In class, vous voulez avoir le droit de dire le mot nègre? Mm-hmm. Hard E-R?
Hard
That's E-R. Crazy. But anyways, and even post-2020, it just seems like les Québécois, y'all are dragging your feet to have these conversations. And this is how you end up in the situation that you are in right now. Mm. You guys are behind on conversations on racism. Mm. You're coming in with a very ethnic product, presenting it to a very ethnically concerned individual, and then you think you're going to get away with it. Mm. And on top of that, the worst part is, I'm talking about les Québécois specifically parce que vous êtes des francophones. Okay? The reason I'm pointing out les Québécois specifically is because they're francophone. The French-speaking world and the English-speaking world is very different from how they deal with racism. Mm. So you're a French-speaking people with a French-made product, French-Canadian-made product, and you want to pitch to the English world. Mm. Thinking that the English world is going to be on board with your nonsense? Okay. Your target demographic is millennials and Gen Zs, and y'all thought millennials and Gen Zs, and more specifically those in the English-speaking world, were going to be on board with your nonsense.
Okay, I'm going to pause one more time. So, slight correction, they weren't thinking. They were not, there was no thought process that went in there. They went in like, I'm a white man, hear me roar, and then, you know, and they did the white people shit. So, okay, keep going, sister.
And you know what's the worst part about all this?
What's the worst
part? All of you business people that was sitting in the front, y'all did not see this for the PR nightmare this was going to be. This was a PR. None of you, even if we were to put all of that aside, none of your business brains were clicking to see that this was a PR nightmare waiting to happen.
Uh-huh.
And the big takeaway that I wish people have from my video specifically is to, again, as a reminder, the culture and environment in which you grew up in is going to have an impact on the way that you see the world around you. And if you do not take the time to be aware of that and do the reprogramming yourself, you're going to find yourself in trouble. And this is what we saw today, guys.
Can I get a amen?
I'm way. All right, okay. You want to take a guess why I'm playing this clip? Besides for the fact that I was engaged and it had my attention, you want to take a guess? You want to take a stab at it? Homegirl, if you can't tell, is so Haitian, so Haitian. And when I say Haitian, I mean like me Haitian, like. Fuck. I'm sure we have friends in common. I'm not sure. Okay, here's the part. I'm not sure if she's in Montreal or in Ottawa, but that's how we sound. I love how she flowed from English and dropped into French and then back to English. Because I do that on this podcast, and I was all like a little self-conscious about it. I'm like, but what about my English-speaking audience? Man, fuck them. Sorry, no offense. I don't mean fuck them in a bad way. But I mean, it's like, meet me where I am. Anyways, I really enjoyed her talk, the way she articulate. Her parents must be proud. She must read a lot of books. Must be one of those Haitians who read a lot of books and their parents are proud of. I don't know what that's like. All right, okay. All right. This concludes the second act. We are in second act. Let's jump to final thoughts, okay? All right, let's go. Right, before I start with the final thought. What's up with the Tay's title? Give me an hour plus a pen in a pad. I still remember the first time I heard that line. I was high when it doesn't matter. Okay, so the topic that I plan on covering is irrelevant to the part of give me an hour plus a pen in a pad, except for maybe the portion that has to do with creativity. But it's more the whole song, I'm Bad. And, I should mention, holy shit, yeah, I forgot. Maybe some young people listen to this podcast. That verse I recited came from the rapper LL Cool J. Ladies love Cool James. And from his second album, I'm Bad. And, I'm kind of delayed. Hold on a second. Bad. LL Cool J, Bad. Was that on his, that was the name of the album? Oh, Bigger and that's what I thought. Bigger and Deffer was the name of the album. I still remember it. I was a youngin' when this shit came out. You kids don't understand. This shit was revolutionary. I remember listening to that shit and people go, that's not real music. Shut up, Grandpa. Yeah. Anyways, look, kids, if you want to go back in time, you want to go back to the time when hip-hop was just starting and you were one of the early adopters. It was some fun times having all these people, even black people, come at you and say, what is this trash garbage you're listening to? Anyways, so I'm Bad. What I appreciate about this lyric is how, I mean, it's pure LL Cool J bragging about him being a bad motherfucker. And as much as I love the song, the lyric, the verse, I myself cannot relate to being able to brag about my own self. And be like, if you hear me brag about myself, I'm making shit up. I'm making it up. I'm not really believing it. My whole self-concept, esteem, and stuff like that. Okay, I'm saying shit, but, you know, it's things that I'm working on. This is my state. I'm not saying... Okay, yes, I'm in the middle of explaining to you that I'm fucked up, but I'm not that fucked up. I'm acknowledging one of my areas of improvement, and it's my esteem. Okay, let me tell you where all this came from. I'm just going to jump to... 2 things that inspired this thought. First, the that Greek guy that who I read about the validation, not validation, about, what did he say again? If you're tempted to look for outside approval, yes. Going through life seeking outside approval. I covered this in past episode. I blame a lot the church. I say the church, Christianity, for this concept of a God outside of you. And for black people, it's even worse. Not only is he outside of you, but he's white and he's calling you nigga every time you fuck up. But the idea of, for me, this is what made the belief in God toxic, is when you give all this power to an outside being. All these approvals, all this worshiping, you should be giving yourself. Look, I remember that it was easier for me to believe in a talking snake, a white boy born in Israel, born in Bethlehem, with blonde hair and blue eye, who died for my sins, whose name is the same name they used on the first slave ship. You know what I mean? It was easier for me to believe in that motherfucker than it was to believe in my own self. And I remember bringing it up with the pastor, being like, man, don't think of it too much. Don't think about it too much. But I'm saying the concept of outside approval is normalized to me. The concept of self-approval is foreign to me, has always been foreign to me. That's why I joked earlier where I said, I feel like I've been on a constant quest for validation from others. And that's what I meant when I said, we'll suck dick for validation. Because the shit that I was willing to do for other people's like, yeah, you're okay. It's actually my therapist who pointed it out with me, that she noticed when it seems like you go into relationships looking for someone to say, you're okay. That was my only reason to have a girlfriend. Just so, here, I must be doing something all right. I have a girlfriend. Sure, we're incompatible. Sure, she hates my guts. I hate her guts. Sure, she wants to ski. I want to stay the fuck home. Sure, she, you know what I mean? It's like, it was a recipe for disaster. Willing to suck dick for validation. So, I talked about my first therapist. The second therapist talked about, brought up about how, you know, this whole validation needs to come from yourself. You should need to validate yourself. And I remember feeling like, I even wrote this down. I said that, lady, you're better off speaking to me in a different language that isn't French, English, or Creole. Because I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. What do you mean, validate? How does one validate himself? Validate himself. Him or herself. The opinions that I have, let's pretend that you got two bills, two different currencies, right? One currency is yours, is just your opinion, and my currency, and then the other bill is my currency, is my opinion. When it's opinion about myself, your currency is 100, is way higher than mine. Mine is at the bottom. I owe you money. Like, what I'm saying is, you saying, hey, B, you're okay, is worth way more than me saying, B, you're okay. Me, it's like counterfeits, like bullshit. It's like I reject that shit. It's even to the point that I reject hearing anything. If anything positive I say about myself, it doesn't. It's the reason why affirmations felt weird for me. I felt, this is bullshit, man. It's a joke. I mean, yeah, why am I? I'm telling myself shit that I can't get myself to believe. Affirmation has always been a struggle for me. Long story. Self-affirmations has always been an issue for me. Now, lo and behold, I guess at some point, because I was thinking about, it's been a lot on my mind, self-validation, and I was thinking about, I don't understand the mechanism, like the mental input, like what do I need to do to get this self-validation thing working? And I guess because I've been thinking a lot about it, And I'm realizing the ability to self-validate yourself, it's a, like a muscle. But what I can tell you is, it's kind of interesting, is I don't know if, let me just get to the point. Something special happened to me this week. I can't remember what, it might have been Tuesday, whatever, right? I, Kali say. So I need to, when I go to bed, I need to, it's not easy. I don't know, I guess because of all the anxiety. I don't know what it is, right? but I need to have my TV on. I need to have something that I can listen passively. Like, I don't have to watch the show, but I just need to hear it. The light, the reflection, whatever. And then I'll turn around. The TV's going to be to my back. And that's how I go to sleep. And I put a timer on so that it's, so that it turns off, right? So sometimes I watch Veep. Back in the day, I used to watch. Whatever, man. YouTube has a lot of content for people like that. Turns out I'm not the only one. Has a lot of content for people who need to, who need a bedtime story before going to bed, who need something before they can, to help them go to sleep. You know what it is? It's because of the boredom between, I think that's the problem. I think it's because of the boredom between being awake and trying to get to sleep. That boredom is like, it's like, just knock me out. Anyway, whatever. So this one thing showed up on my in my feed, on YouTube feed. Shout out to the algorithm. And it's called, I really did not save the link, did I? Okay, hold on. It's called the title is Confidence Reprogram Your Mind While You Sleep. So this is not the first time that I've played these videos where it's some person saying a bunch of positive affirmation. I am strong. Okay. This is not the first time that I've listened to this kind of shit, right? But this one, this particular clip, and I'll leave it in the show notes, if you know, maybe I'll work for you, maybe it might not. But this one actually reached me. Okay, let me back up. I said it's not the first time that I've played some positive affirmation. And what helped me go to sleep is, the problem is every time the affirmation was come up, my brain would be like, no, that's bullshit. It'd be, I am a loving person. No, I'm not. What about that time I did this? And then my mind would go under that. I am strong and caring person. Nah, man, fuck. You know, it's like, I deserve happiness. No, I don't. You know what I mean? Like, my brain was like, yeah, hi-ya, hi-ya, rejecting. Now, with this particular program, I'm not saying it's the program. What I'm saying is the timing. I guess it's all that thinking about self-validation. I found myself, it's like I was too tired to reject the affirmation. And what I ended up doing was allowing myself to believe the affirmation, even though it was for a short period of time, even though it might have been for a split second, but I was able to get myself to like believe in shit like,
I stand by my decisions. They are sound and reasoned. Life is a gift, and I choose to fill it with joy.
Jesus, okay, all right. Shout out to her name. The content creator's name is Jessica Heslop. Heslop. H-E-S-L-O-P. And, okay, I thought she published, but anyway, she says shit like that, right? And I stand by my decisions, and I allow myself to believe it. And that brief moment of believing it or imagining myself that I believed it did something for me. And it was like, for the first time, I'm like, oh, I think this is what self-validation feels like. I think this is what it feels like to actually believe in your own greatness. Now, I don't mean greatness like you know, some cocky motherfucker like Trump's, like that pride kind of greatness. But I mean, when you finally get yourself to believe that you're not. You know, you constantly tell yourself you ain't shit. Well, you stop yourself from telling yourself that. I'm trying to tell you that I felt like it started to work. Again, I'm realizing it's a muscle though, but it started to work. And I think what also helped, or what also inspired me down that line of thinking, in addition to it, right? There's a post on, I'm going to end it with this here, right? Because, you know, I didn't come here to preach today. Here, I'm just going to play it. I'm not going to read it, but basically it's another post that showed up on the HSP subreddit, and someone shared a discussion post, and he goes, learning to trust yourself and not look for external validation. And it ends with a question that I wasn't able to answer the first time I read this post, but
I guess many HSPs fall into the trap of lacking in self-trust. Mm-hmm. From my understanding, this can come from childhood. Constantly being told we are overthinking or too sensitive over and over again.
Yep.
I know for me, it was also having my reality denied countless times by my parents and gaslit to the point where I internally said that something was very wrong with me and I must be to blame.
Yep.
I know for many of us this fosters a lack of trust in ourselves. In the past I will have a gut feeling about someone or something but talk myself out of it, or need to talk about it with 5 people to validate it in my own mind. I am not great at knowing what's best for me and sticking to it. I often have to talk decisions and situations through with an outside source before knowing what to do. I feel like the straw that broke the camel's back was exiting a narcissistically abusive relationship 15 months ago.
Oh wow.
My body was quite literally screaming at me from the start. I keep pushing the feelings down or letting a family friend talk me out of my thoughts and feelings as being paranoid, yep, nitpicking, and at one stage I was even convinced I was superficial. It wasn't until the end, when it all came to light, that realized how much I had self-abandoned. The same happened when I lost a best friend of 20 years in January. A friendship which felt icky and one-sided for several years, which I cast off as me just being too sensitive or too needy. How did you learn, or how are you learning to trust yourself again? How do you validate your own feelings and keep your own boundaries firm even if to most other people they seem over the top, weird or different? Have you started to tune into your own intuition more? How does it feel?
God damn it, bro. All right, okay. I'm going to take a few extra minutes just to... I got to tell you what happened to me recently, right? I was in a situation where this happened to me last week. I may have talked about this before, right? But so I'm a quote unquote nice guy in a sense that Long story short, colleague, someone I work with, spoke to me in a professional setting in a reckless way, in a way that I thought was reckless. Like it basically, I wouldn't do that to a person. Why the fuck are you talking to me in that manner? But when they did it, and this is not the first time, and if you're a highly sensitive person, if you're people, you're going to relate to this kind of story, right? But when they did it, it triggered my fight or flight mode. And because I'm in a work setting, I shut down the fight part. Fight, flight, or fawn. Fawn, I think, is like when you just bow down and suck their dick. I mean... I've been talking a lot about sucking dick, haven't I? Okay, well, you just, like, give in. But I remember they spoke to me in a way that I found disrespectful. And I froze up, just acted, like, played it off like nothing happened. And then when I got home, I was beating myself up for, like, fuck, you did it again. Now, here's the thing. It'd be one thing if it was the first time, I could let it slide and be like, maybe it's out of character. Who knows? I'm sure there's a context to it. If it wasn't out of character, but this wasn't the first time this person had done that. And I remember promising myself that next time that motherfucker does that shit, he's going to feel it. And that next time happened and I just let it slide. It fucking bothered me, man. Like, I mean, over the weekend, like, I was just, self-abandonment was going on, you know what I mean? Because usually, my automatic system is to, like, let that flame, that anger just, like, die off. But this time that flame was like, fuck that. How it went from angry at myself to being like, it went from angry at myself to then recognizing, you know, everything that I learned in therapy, a discussion I've had in therapy. One of the shit I learned in therapy is, homie showed you who he is. Now that he showed you who he is, now you deal with that. No more, okay, you were just having a bad day. No, no, no. You deal with the identity they showed you. It's like, hey, this is who I am. Fuck you gonna do about it? No more making excuses for it. No more letting it slide. So ended up having a meeting, and it wasn't just me. It was two colleagues, but it, you know, not no subordinate, but it was like close colleagues, and we're pretty much having a discussion about how, you know, improving shit and blah blah blah. And then I remember the back of my mind is, nigga, if you let this shit slide, fuck, no, there is no if. You ain't letting this shit slide. And honestly, man, it just came out. It just blurted out. I was like, hey, man, I need to address that that occasion, what you did, you know, blah, blah, blah. It just came out. And basically, I wasn't being an asshole about it, but it was just, I was being as real with him as I am being on this podcast. And it's pretty much saying, yo, at this rate, we are not going to get along. You and I will be beefing. Initially, the bench was going to be like, you do that shit again, you and I are going to have a problem. No, no, we're past that. We have a problem. I'm acknowledging the problem. And now it's deciding, are we making it worse? Or are we like, someone farted. Are we acknowledging it, right? Anyways. And I remember doing that, right? And two of my colleagues, one of my colleagues was like, even though they understood what I was doing, they were like, they gave you the time of day, not the way we do it, blah, blah, blah. This was after discussion. The two people who were present, both of them were like, hey, I get it, but that's not how you should have done, whatever, right? And since that moment, I remember feeling, I called it, I felt like a runaway slave. I felt like I looked a white man in the eye and said no. And then after that moment, I felt like a runaway slave. Like, ah, fuck, okay, repercussion. Holy shit. The fuck was I thinking? But it gets to the point about, I guess the affirmations have been working. I'm realizing what bothered me is I felt like I disturbed the order of things. Look, here's what I'm trying to get at. That outburst that I did, I'm realizing that choose your discomfort. This is ugliest life. Either choose the discomfort of beating yourself up, either choose the discomfort of self-abandonment or the discomfort of losing external validation. And I guess I'm realizing that I chose external value. Yeah, I chose, fuck it. And I guess part of what made it easier to let go of that need for external validation was the self-validation. Even it wasn't strong, but it was strong enough to be like, yo, like, after that moment, I was trying to say, B, I got you, I got you, I got you. I'm like, we're fucked, holy shit, they're gonna hang me. I'm gonna shout out my homegirl who, I'm going to nickname her the CEO. And I'm not going to read the full message that she's... Because basically I said... I remember sending the message saying, yo, I think I fucked up. Because I told her the situation. And basically she understood. And it's the last part she says. It's because it could feel shitty. I hope you can remember that sticking up for little B Black, me, who couldn't defend himself before, now you can. This chick's gonna make me fucking cry, man. God damn. That's what sucks about being highly sensitive. Yeah, anyways, whatever, man. Emotional and shit. But the idea of standing up for a child who no one else stood up for, including myself, that was comforting. I mean, I was still beating myself up, but it was like, it was what I needed to read in that moment. Because like I said, I was feeling like a runaway slave. I felt like I just told, I just slapped a white man. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm fucked. Now, if anyone out there going, oh, dude, you can slap a white man, I'm thinking, you're missing the point of my analogy. I was a slave! And I freed myself. So, to answer homie's question about how does it feel? Yeah, I feel fucked up. If you're in my state, like, share my state, it feels fucked up at first. I think I'm told you get used to it towards the end. Don't get me wrong, I hate confrontation. But one thing I do hate more, I found myself hating more than confrontation, is being in a situation where I'm beating myself up for not standing up for myself, for, you know, for trying to convince myself, nah, it's not that bad. Squash that need for pride and dignity or being respected. Fuck that. Anyways, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. I'm just realizing, I'm trying to make the link between I'm bad, but it's just, who knows, maybe one day I'll be able to write, I'm badder. All right, okay. I'm going to wrap this up, man. This is it, man. That's all I have to say for today's, for the final act. We did three acts, and then we're good to go, man. This concludes today's episode. That's it. Y'all ready? Eh? Okay. We did it, gang. Yeah, okay. Episode 212, in the bag. Give me an hour plus a pen in the pad. Okay, and yeah, thank you for listening. As always, if you want to holler at me, I would love to hear back from you. Share your thoughts. Especially, okay, look. I really want to hear from people who can connect, who can relate to what the fuck I'm talking about. I ain't trying to hear no advice of, well, you know how you should have handled it. You know what I mean? I mean, I prefer to hear, because that's what it's all about. It's my way of saying, yo, I've been where you've been, or I am where you are at, or where you were, and this is how I'm crawling out of it. Yeah, so all you mutual minds, all you Niggatrons, yeah, hold on. All you,
Niggatron.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm thinking of calling my audience Niggatrons. Yeah, I'm talking to my lawyers about that. Right, then holler at me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. What was that? Shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. One last time, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. All right, the power of three. Website is shutuppodcast.com, but right now it kind of looks like shit. I mean, not at the standard that I like, so I'm not promoting the site that much, but, you know, shutuppodcast.com. Okay, as always, thank you for listening, and remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.